Okay, it's 10:30 a.m. Welcome to the McClenny Primitive Baptist Church worship service this morning. And I feel very burdened to share it on that wise. I have felt the presence of the Lord in these services, in services that I've been a part of where other men were faithfully sharing God's word. I could feel the connection of our spirits by the mysterious and wonderful work of the Holy Spirit. I can see your faces by an eye of faith in my mind's eye just now, and we are so thankful to have you with us. If you would, as we begin our service this morning, would you bow with me as we go to the Lord in prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for this special and wonderful opportunity to worship you. We trust in spirit and in truth. We're so thankful for the great gift of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, which in the darkest of nights shines in. It's a light that the darkness simply cannot comprehend or subdue. The darkness of this world does not comprehend the light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is a reflection of the person of our Savior. We are so thankful for these precious truths, and we pray that they'd be an encouragement to everyone that tunes in this morning. And Father, we pray for the circumstances of our globe, this wide world over. We wouldn't be so selfish as to pray only for this nation, though it holds a special place in our heart, but for your children, wherever they may be, suffering around this globe. Lord, please bless them. Father, those that are providing immediate care to those that are in need, those that are providing services and goods to us, putting their own health and safety and welfare at risk so that we can live our lives. Father, we're so thankful for their labor of love on our behalf. Watch over them and keep them. Lord, we pray again that everything said and done here this morning would renound to your name's honor and glory. We ask it in the lovely name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray, amen. Well, I have been, in a wonderful way, if there's any good place to get stuck in the Word of God, the book of Psalms is a wonderful place, especially in these times, to be found. And so we're going again. I don't believe I've ever spoke so much from the book of Psalms in all of my life. It's been a sweet time of blessing and refreshing for me. And so maybe our souls can be refreshed together as we go to the psalmist's work here in Psalm 91. And under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, the psalmist writes on this wise, and this is a psalm for a time of pestilence, as you will see. Pestilence fills our globe. This is a psalm for a time of pestilence. Listen to this glorious language. Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely, He shall deliver thee from the fear of the snarler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror of the night, nor for the arrow that flieth by the day. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. What a precious psalm for the day in which we live. There are incredible promises that are made. And again, as we said, I think maybe last week, these are really over-the-top promises. No pestilence is going to touch thee. No arrow is going to be successful against thee. Because I'm resting under the shadow. I'm resting under the wing. The word shadow there means refuge. Now, at the very first verse, whenever he talks about that he's going to find refuge, I'm going to be under the shadow of the Almighty. That may not mean quite as much to some of you, but where this was written, in a desert land, in a very arid and hot wilderness area, shadows meant everything in the world. It's the idea of refuge. He said, I'm going to find safety there under the shadow of the Almighty. I'm going to find refuge under his wing. That's a very, very strong, precious metaphor that the Lord gives us. Under his wing, you think of, it's kind of maternal, isn't it? Under his wing, you think of a mother bird, and especially right now in the spring, and they have their chicks in their nest, and if calamity or trouble comes, very quickly she spreads her wings over the nest, and she shields the little ones in the nest. David will take up that, and the Word of God takes up that metaphor over and over again. The promise of this psalm, is that God will keep you safe. He will be your refuge, and that is a blood-purchased truth. But let me tell you how Satan wants you to read this psalm. Now, the psalm is very clear. Remember, no pestilence. Twice he says that. No pestilence is going to overtake you. No arrow is going to find you as its mark. He's very bold in his assertion. He says that the Lord, not only is he going to provide earthly things for your care and your shelter, but if the matters of earth are not sufficient for your care, he'll dispatch from the battlements of heaven angels. He says that he's given angels charge over thee, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. David says the Lord's saying he's not even going to let you stump your toe. Those are exceeding great and precious promises, aren't they? The Lord is giving us assurance that he's going to keep us safe. So, let me say this. William Shakespeare said that even Satan can quote scripture for his purposes. Satan has a way of exposition. Satan has a way of explaining the Word of God. This happens to be a passage of scripture that Satan attempted biblical exposition or explanation of. He took this scripture up. You remember that in Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus is led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, and they engage in battle. They are. Now, it may not appear from the outside, but there's a great battle going on there. And let me say this. It's the battle for our souls. Christ will battle again and again and again while he's on the face of the earth. And one of the salvos that Satan fires against the Lord Jesus Christ is he tells him, listen, it's not necessary for you to suffer. It's not necessary for you to die. You don't have to go to the cross in order to get me to bow down before you can. He tries several tactics. It's not necessary for you to suffer. And here he takes him, with this shot, he takes him to the highest point, to the pinnacle of the temple. And from there, he tells the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, listen, cast yourself down. Now listen to me very carefully. This is how Satan interprets scripture. He said, cast yourself down from the top of this temple, because if your father really loves you, like you tell everyone that he loves you, he will not let you injure yourself. He will not let you be unsafe. And then he quotes the psalm that I've just read to you, Psalm 91, where David says that the Lord has given, and Satan quotes this verse. Satan knows scripture, I'm afraid, sometimes better than the Lord's people, though he misapplies it every time. Satan said, remember, the psalmist said that God's given his angels charge over you, lest at any time you should dash your foot against the stone. So if God really loves you, he's not going to let you stump your toe. Go ahead. And of course, the Savior says, it's written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. What Satan is saying is you don't need to suffer. If God loves you, you don't have to go to the cross. It's not necessary. He's trying to short circuit the work of our Savior on the face of the earth. And that's the line. Let me say this. That's the line that he pulls on many of God's people. If God loves you, then he's not going to let you suffer. If he really cares for you, then you're not going to suffer, experience difficulty or hardship in this world. I mean, look at it. Pestilence is not going to come to your home. The arrow's not going to reach you. He's not going to let you stump your toe. An angel will intervene. I mean, how do you reconcile all of that? And Satan puts that in your mind. God has promised to take care of us. He has, hasn't he? And I've seen that thought, that if God loves me, nothing difficult, I won't have any catastrophe or calamity will never come to me if God loves me. I've seen that wreak havoc in the lives and in the faith of God's people from time to time. There is a devilish, and I'm saying it as kind as I can, there is a devilish theology that is taught to God's people today. And I'm saying that as kind as I can. And it's saying that if you are faithful, if you trust God, there will be no pestilence, no COVID-19. If you love God, there will be no arrows, there will be no violence, there will be no calamities. You'll be safe. Now listen, you may be young and tuned in this morning. I hope you are. And maybe you've lived a charmed life. Maybe you haven't had any difficulty. Maybe you're young. You haven't experienced any physical difficulties. You're young. You haven't lost anybody that means anything. No immediate family members. That's right. If I follow God, everything's been real well. Let me say this. That's an uninformed peace. It's a peace. It is a kind of peace, but it's uninformed. You see, you just don't have enough life experience yet. I'm not being a doomsday prophet. I'm not being negative. I'm just a realist. And the Word of God, that's one of the reasons I trust it. It gives us reality. Jesus told us the truth about our experience in this world, that in this world we'll have tribulation. Let me tell you this. When you get to be, in your 40s, over into your 50s, you'll get it. You will get it. That we live in a broken world. If you have enough life experience, you're going to know if we live in a broken world and that trouble is coming. And if you buy Satan's lie that he tried to sell through people like Job's three friends. Job, if you do well, good things will always happen. If you're always faithful, you'll always get along good. He tried to sell it to the Savior, and he's selling it today all across America over television, that if you'll just be faithful to God, if you'll trust him, if you'll give enough, if you'll believe enough, if you'll be faithful enough, you won't ever have any trouble or trial. And let me say, when trouble and trial does come, and you've tried to follow God and you've tried to be faithful, believing that lie from Satan as he broached it with the Son of God, it will paralyze your faith. It will. You'll be disappointed with God, and you'll be prone to walk away from discipleship. I've seen it happen over and over again. It's so sad. Job's three friends try to say that the reason that he was having trouble was because he hadn't been faithful. And so now God must punish him. That's the problem. That's what they say. Job, if you've been faithful, God would have taken care of you. No pestilence would have come to your house. The arrow wouldn't have come to your house. You wouldn't have been visited by COVID-19. If you've been faithful. And you know what the Lord says at the end of the book of Job? He says to Zophar and Bildad and Elihu, he tells them that I've got a problem with you. And the reason I have a problem with you, and you need to ask Job to go pray for you because I'm angry with you. And the reason I'm angry with you is you have not spoke right concerning me. That's what he said. So what was it that they hadn't spoke right? They were telling Job, the reason you're suffering is because you hadn't been what you ought to be. And it's that in every single case. Let me say this. There are people who experience the chastening rod of God in their life, and they suffer as a result. There are consequences for our sin. But it's not every single case. And it wasn't in Job's case. It doesn't always work out in this world that if you're faithful, that trouble will not visit your home. God was angry with them because what they were saying was a lie. And he said, you haven't spoke the thing that was right concerning me. So here we are in Psalm 91, and the Lord says, no arrows, no pestilence. I mean, that's what he says, right? Psalm 91, no arrows, no pestilence. And then in Luke 21, we're going to read it. In Luke 21, then he tells some of his faithful apostles, some of you are going to be delivered to death. How can that be? Listen to Luke 21. Jesus says in Luke 21, 12, he says, but before all these, he's talking about kings that would gather disciples together to persecute them. He said, before all these, they shall lay their hands on you. They're going to persecute you. They're going to deliver you up to synagogues. They're going to put you in prisons. You're going to be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. You're going to suffer because you've been standing up for my name. So far from not suffering because of being faithful, here's a group of people that will suffer because they've been faithful. He said, you're going to be betrayed. Imagine this, by parents, by brethren, kinsfolk, and friends. And some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men, not because you weren't getting it right, but for my name's sake. And then he says this in verse 18, and this is really what I want to grab hold of this morning. He said, but there shall not a hair of your head perish. Now explain that. He said, you're going to be hated of all men for my name's sake. He said, some of you shall they cause to be put to death. In verse 16 and 18, he says, but not a hair of your head is going to perish. How can that be? You're going to be put to death, but the arrow's not going to touch you. Pestilence is not going to come to your home. You're not going to stump your toe. How can all of that be? How can that take place? It's incredible. It's amazing. So here it is. I want to share with you very quickly. There's something in legal matters that's called imperi materia. Now, I got this from a law conference that I went to on education law, and it hit me. Imperi materia. And that's a legal principle, and it means this, that if you have two statutes, think about two scriptures. If you have two statutes, and statute number one deals with the specific subject or principle, and then statute number two also deals with the subject or principle that statute number one deals with, they both have to say the same thing about that subject or principle that they're dealing with. They must construe the same thing. They have to line up. That's called imperi materia. One law, one statute must line up with another law and another statute when they're dealing with the same subject. That principle is alive in God's word. One verse, one scripture must always line up with another scripture if they're dealing with the same subject. What that means, if there are any apparent contradictions in your mind in God's word, those contradictions are in your mind. They're not in God's word. There is impera materia. There's perfect balance in God's word. Scripture does not conflict with scripture. So that whenever Jesus says, listen, in verse 16, Luke 21, they're going to deliver you up to death for my name's sake, for being faithful. And then he says in verse 18, he says, not one hair of your head is going to perish. How does that line up? No pestilence, no arrows, no stumping of your toes. Yet it's clear that God's people experience difficulty and calamity in this world. How does all of that line up? Well, is God going to keep us safe? Is God going to keep us safe? Absolutely. His name as a shepherd is on the line. So, Brother David, help us with that. God is going to keep us safe. You have to bring an eternal, listen, it's very important. In the problems and difficulties of life, you always have to keep an eternal perspective on the problems of time. The problems that we experience in this world must always be wrapped around with an eternal perspective. That's our problem. We bring this very temporal, we bring this very narrow, time-centered view to our problems instead of bringing the eternal perspective that we should live in as God's people. Listen to what Job says. God is going to keep us safe. Here's the deal. God is going to keep us safe in trouble. That doesn't mean he's going to keep us from trouble, but God's going to keep us safe in trouble. That's the promise of his word. Job 5:19, I love this. He shall deliver thee in six troubles. Didn't mean you're not going to have troubles. Job says here you're going to have six of them. And six being the number of man. The troubles affiliated with men. And that can be losing your job. That can be disease coming to your home. That can be economic instability, political turmoil. Whatever can happen to men. Job says that you're going to experience those troubles, but God will keep you safe in them. And he said, and in the seventh and last great trouble, which is death, the greatest trouble known to man, there shall no evil touch thee. It doesn't mean that we're not going to experience trouble in life. And it doesn't mean that we're not going to experience death. But he says, there no evil shall touch thee. He will keep you safe in those things. Now, I'll give you a very vivid example of it in the Word of God very quickly. Daniel 3, I love this passage of Scripture. Daniel 3, the three Hebrew children, you know the story. They won't dance to them. Whenever the music sounds, they won't dance and bow to the image, the idol that's been set up by Nebuchadnezzar. So they're about to be cast in the fire. Nebuchadnezzar threatens them and warns them. He's gotten very angry. If you don't dance to the music of my kingdom, then you're going into the fire. And this is their response. They said, we're not careful to answer thee, O king. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, but if not. So which is it? It doesn't look like there's balance there. They say, listen, our God is able to deliver us, and he will deliver us out of thy hand. Our God's able to deliver us from the fiery furnace. He will deliver us out of your hand, but if not. What does that mean? They're saying that he's able and that he will, but if not. What they're saying is, listen, God, listen, King, God is able to deliver us immediately from this fiery furnace. He can do that if it's his pleasure. But if we go into the fiery furnace and we deliver and we lose our lives, God is going to deliver us out of your hand. In death, we're going into the throne room of God. So even if we die in the fiery furnace, he's able to deliver us right now before we go into the fiery furnace. But if we go into the fiery furnace and die, we're still going to be delivered from your hand. And we're going to reign in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords immediately. So either way, what they're really saying is, don't threaten us with heaven. We're not afraid of you, King. Because we're going to have victory either way. God's either going to deliver us in this trouble or he's going to deliver us out of this trouble into heaven. But if not, we're not going to serve you. So how does God deliver us? And I've got just a minute to do this. How does God deliver us? He does it. Listen very carefully. It goes back to what David said, that I'm going to find shelter under your wings. What David said in the psalm, I'm going to find shelter under your wings. The word of God mentions that several times. Listen, one of the most beautiful places it mentions it in Ruth chapter 2 and verse 12. This is how the Lord delivers us in trouble and keeps us safe. This is how God has kept us safe. Ruth 2:12, one of the most beautiful verses in all the word of God. Boaz says to Ruth, he says, the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. There are the wings again. Under whose wings thou art come to trust. This morning on the radio, our message was this, that the psalmist David, he said, be merciful unto me. O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge. Again, it goes back to the image of the mother bird. It's a maternal, listen, here's what mother birds do whenever terrible rainstorms and thunderstorms come. I had a dear man who shared with me that after a horrible hailstorm, he went out in the front yard where he knew that a mother bird had made a nest in the springtime. This was so touching to me, had made a nest in the springtime, had baby chicks, and he went out to check on them after this horrible hailstorm, and the mother bird, he found her dead with her wings spread over the chicks. And he lifted her out of the nest, and the chicks were still alive. The mother had died. And the reason, so here's the deal. The mother bird is going to take the destruction of the hailstones. If it's a predator, the mother bird will take the destruction of the predator and save her chicks. It's substitutionary. The wings of the mother bird, it's substitutionary atonement. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us. That's how our Father keeps us safe. In the substitutionary sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary, the Son of God, he had lived the life that we couldn't live, kept the law of God, and now at Calvary, he dies the death that we can't die. He satisfied God's law at Calvary so that we can live in heaven with him and be kept safe in time and eternity. And that's how God keeps us safe. That's how he keeps us safe. There's much more that I would like to say about that. So we can be eternally safe right now. That's why the Apostle Paul would say, so our light afflictions, which are but for a moment. You see, whenever you look at what Christ has done for us by covering us and shielding us as the mother bird does her chicks, you may lose everything that you have in this world. But let me tell you, your Father is rich in houses, fields, and lands. You're an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And all that Christ has is yours. And it's going to be yours throughout all eternity. You may lose your health in this world, but Jesus Christ is going to rid heaven and your body one day. He's going to rid your body. It's going to be a glorified body. There shall be no sickness, no sorrow, no tear dimmed eyes. We are going to be well. God has a plan to keep us safe and to buoy us up through the calamities and the difficulties of life. That truth will keep you safe in the midst of the fiery furnace. Not one hair of your head shall perish.